Good evening. You have to bear with me. I need a quick sip of water here. Well, I pray that everyone is doing well this evening, and obviously I'm not. Pastor Foster, he texted me this afternoon, and he said, plan to prepare a sermon. So I ate a biscuit, had some gravy, took a 15-minute nap, and made my way to the church. And so we're here this evening, and I just pray that this will be a blessing to you. This evening. So if you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 9. 1 Kings in chapter number 9 is where we're going to be this evening. 1 Kings in chapter number 9. And I'd like to thank Pastor for this opportunity to preach. It's a great opportunity and just more experience, and so I'm very thankful for it. I have a question for most of you, or rather a statement. If you have been, well, let me ask this. Who's been driving a while? Who's been driving a long time? I know that's a very rhetorical, redundant question there, but if anyone has been driving for a while, I'm sure most of you have heard of something called a mile marker. Has anyone, mile markers okay? Not if heads there. Now, mile markers, they're important, especially back in the day when GPSs, and I wasn't around back then, but I'm sure the when there were no GPSs or no Siri, no Google Maps, you relied on mile markers a lot. They were important. And now, of course, that was back then. Today, they're still just as important. And in fact, I didn't grow up here in Texas, but in Colorado, especially when you're in areas where there's no cell reception there, those mile markers are really important, especially in the mountains. I found myself once or twice stuck with no cell service with a flat tire, and I had to figure out what mile marker am I at just in case something bad happened, and I learned very quickly, oh, that's called a mile marker, and I'm at mile marker, I think, 167. But they're important, and especially if you get stuck, you need to know where you're at. But that was in Colorado. Now in Texas, mile markers are also very important, especially out on those country roads. Now, once again, I've only lived in Texas for a few years, but I've learned very quickly that those mile markers are important, especially on those country roads, because if you miss it, you could miss it by a country mile. And I have learned that a country mile is a long ways away. But over time, for those that have been driving for a while, I'm sure that those mile markers, as you've driven that same route time and time again, those mile markers turn into more of a memory marker, so to speak. You know, you're driving down the road, and to, you know, if you have someone new with you who doesn't know where you're going, they could say, do you know where you're going? And you know exactly where you're going. You turn off at the tree that's off to the right that's hanging like this, and that's your memory marker. You know, when I get to that tree, I turn right and I'm there. Now, the more you live in a place, the more you see things change throughout the years. And I'm sure that many in this congregation who have lived in Texas for many years, you could take me to places that were once and are no more. Some of those places might be a restaurant that you love to go to. I mean, you could say, you go down this road right here, you turn right, best restaurant ever, best tacos they ever made. Some of the places you might be able to take me are stores that you used to shop at back in the day. You know, an old hardware store or just a convenience store that you love to go to. And you could take me to that place, exactly where you went shopping. Some of the places you might take me if I were to go with you was maybe the place where you and your once girlfriend, now wife, went on your first date. I'm sure that there are some in this room who could take me to the place where you kissed your once girlfriend, now wife, for the first time. Or maybe not, because that's your place. I'm sure some of you could take me to the place where you first bowed on your knee and asked God to save you. Maybe it was an old country church, and you still remember the place and the pew right there. Some of you could take me to the place where you fell on your knees and you asked God to help you through a situation. You begged for God's mercy, you begged for God's grace, you begged for God's wisdom. You could take me to that place. Now, if you were to take me to such a place, I'm sure that most of those memories, hopefully, were great memories. We all know of places back, or we all know of places back that bring back wonderful memories. And I'm sure that you could go back there and you could show me all these wonderful places that you've been to or that you grew up knowing. But I'm sure also there's some places that you know of that bring back bad memories. Heartbreak. Sadness. A place you remember that you don't want to. Now, there's a place in Colorado. It's 5 minutes away from where my parents live. It's a plaza, so it's just a big place where there's lots of little stores you can go in and things like that. And as a teenager, I used to go there and hang out with my friends in high school all the time. And there's buildings there. There's different buildings there that have good memories and bad memories. For instance, there's a parking garage where I went and my friend decided to drift up the parking garage, and there was a police officer waiting at the very top. Bad memory. I learned my lesson, don't be with that friend in that car. There's also other buildings that I can look at and just wish to myself, I wish I could go back in time and tell my hard-headed self, why did you do that? But I can't. The past is the past. I can't change the outcome of it. I have to live with those choices. Many of us know of a happy place, but we also don't forget about the sad places either. But what I find so interesting is how a place can become more than just a mile marker, it becomes a memory marker. Where every time you go past that place or that spot, your mind is filled with those memories once again. It could be years before it could be years since you've been there, but as soon as you see that location, it's like you're reliving the moment. Memory markers. Now, throughout the Bible, we can read about many places that have stories to tell. And some of them were great places of great triumph where God moved and God showed himself in great ways. But there's other places that were destruction and defeat. Now, many of those places that were defeat or places of defeat didn't have to be so. If only God's people had decided to be obedient to him. And many of the memory markers in our lives, they didn't have to be bad memory markers. If only we had listened and been obedient to God. If you take your Bibles and if you're there already, 1 Kings chapter number 9, we'll start in verse number 1. And it says this, "And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name, and will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil." up to this point in Israel's life, it's a very joyous time for Israel, because back before this passage that we have just read, is the house of God has finally been completed. And this is something that Israel, they've been waiting a long time for this to take place. They've been waiting for the house of God to be built since the time of David in 2 Samuel chapter number 6 there. And David, he desired to build the house of God. He wanted to. He desired to. But God had other plans for David, because David was a man of war. As 1 Samuel chapter number 16 verse 18 says that he was to take care of all of the enemies around them. In 1 Chronicles 28 verses 2 and 3, David even explains it himself when he says, Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." And so David, he desired to build the house of God, but David was not going to be the one to do so. David's son would, Solomon. And Solomon would, after all of the enemies were defeated, Solomon, he had a clean slate. He had no enemies that were coming against him. Solomon, he had an open road. And so he began to build the house of God. And in 1 Kings, you read all about it, how Solomon builds this house unto God. And up to this point, Solomon is now the king of Israel. And he has asked God for wisdom and understanding, and God has given it to him. And God has continued to give Solomon wisdom, because he was definitely going to need it if he was going to build a house. Now, working out with Pastor at his property, I thought building a house, you just put some 2x4s up and you're good to go. Oh no, there's a lot more to it. And there's a lot of wisdom needed, I have learned very quickly. You can't just stick things up there. They have to go a certain way, and you need wisdom. What materials to use, and what's the weather like out in that part of Texas rather than here. And there's wisdom needed. And Solomon, he needed that wisdom to build the house of God. And he was able to do so. And after the temple, the house of God had been complete, then they furnished the temple. And it was a joyous time for Israel, because now the Ark of the Covenant is now in that temple. God had asked David, "My Ark has not been dwelling anywhere. It's been dwelling in tents, not in a house. Now it's in the house of God." And Solomon, after all of this is done, he takes a moment and he blesses the Lord for all that he has done. And he stands before the altar of the Lord in the midst of the people with his hands towards heaven. And he blesses the Lord for all that he has done. And Solomon blesses the Lord and he prays a prayer of dedication to the Lord. And Solomon declares before the people that there is no God like the Lord God of Israel. And as he stands there in 1 Kings chapter number 8, verses 23 through 24, Solomon says this, "And Solomon stood up before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, Lord God of Israel, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. In heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servant that walketh before thee with all their heart, who kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day." And Solomon, he's standing before the people and he's saying, "This is what God has done for us. This is what God has done for my father." And he acknowledges that God has not only saved his father David, but he has also protected his children. And he's provided for them all along the way. And after Solomon finishes with this dedication prayer unto the Lord, he then stands before the people and he spreads forth his hands and he gives a benediction to the people, and he blesses the people. And he says in 1 Kings chapter number 8, verses 56 through 60, he says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our father. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandment and his statute and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God today, or day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of Israel may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. And after this prayer was made, Solomon made it unto the Lord, and he made it before the people. Then they offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And so just to give us context here, we can understand that right now, God's relationship with his people is perfect. It's good. It's right. And they offer sacrifices unto the Lord. And after the temple's been built and all the work has been complete, you can tell they're Baptists because they have a feast. And this feast, it doesn't just last one Sunday afternoon. No, it goes on for 8 days. And on the eighth day, Solomon sends all the people home full, which is always a good thing, but not only full of food, but full of gladness of heart, full of goodness for all that the Lord has done. And that's what God does for his people. Because this world, it's going to leave us hungry. It's going to leave us cold. It's going to leave us hopeless with nothing. But God, he'll always keep you full. Amen. He'll always leave us full of joy, goodness, gladness of heart towards him. And Solomon and all of Israel, their hearts are full in their relationship with God. Like I said, it is a good relationship with God right now. Things are really going good for them. And it can continue to stay that way as long as Solomon and Israel heed the words of the Lord. Because as we have just read in 1 Kings chapter number 9, God gives Solomon a premonition. Now, for those that don't know, a premonition is a warning. And we find here in this passage that once the building has been completed, it's been finalized, that the Lord comes to Solomon and he tells Solomon, he appears to Solomon a second time. Now, as we had just read, God has come to Solomon once before, and that was when Solomon was in Gibeon and he was asleep. The Lord comes to Solomon and says, "Ask and it shall be given thee." And this is where we find that in 1 Kings chapter number 3, Solomon asks God for wisdom and God gives it to him. And it's a wonderful privilege that not only could Solomon pray to God for these things, but we too can pray to God and ask for things from God and pray to him and ask. And God will hear our prayers. As Matthew chapter number 7, verses 7 and 8 say, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." In James chapter number 1, verses 5 and 6. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." It's a wonderful blessing that we can pray to God and that we can ask for things from God. And not only does he hear our prayers, but he answers them. I know right after this morning service here, I was going to ask Layla, and I see her. Am I okay to tell them what you told me this morning? Okay. After this morning service, Layla came up to me and she said, "I've been praying to God about something." She said, "I have a speech test coming up this Tuesday, and I've been praying to God to calm my stomach." Layla's nervous, and she's praying to God for help. Amen. And that was just such an encouragement to hear. And Layla's praying, and the test is on Tuesday. She's getting ahead of schedule praying to God and asking for help. Amen. And that's what we should do in times of need or in times of uncertainty, is to go to God and ask God for help. And it's a blessing that we can do so. In those difficult situations, we can pray to God. And when we're struggling, don't know what to do, we can pray to God. The unknown, we can pray to God. Now, obviously my wife is with a child, and As a new parent, I have no clue what's going on. And I have been, I'll put my head up to the belly and I go, speak, can I hear or something? I just want to know how our child's doing, okay? But I have no clue. I mean, we'll go get an ultrasound and we'll be able to see the baby then, but I have no clue. To me, it's the unknown. But to God, He already knows that child. He already knows what she's going to do one day. I don't. But I can pray to God and ask for help to understand how to be a good father, but also that He would protect our child. And that's what Solomon did, is he prayed to God, and God heard his prayer and his supplication, and God comes to Solomon and he says, Solomon, I have heard what you prayed, but not only that, I've already gone ahead and I have hollowed out the house of God. And what God has done there is he has gone and he has cleansed the temple. He has purified it. He has hollowed it. He has set it apart. He's made it holy. And that's what God does in our lives when we call upon Him to save us, is He comes into our hearts and He hollows us. He makes us whole. He makes us complete. He cleanses us from all the sin that's within us. And then He begins a work of restoration. As 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 19 and 20 say, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We are, the Holy Spirit indwells in us for those that have asked the Lord to save us. And God, He is doing a restoration work. He is cleansing us from the inside, like He has done for the house of God that Solomon has built. God has hallowed it. He's set it apart. It's been purified. And not only that, but God has told Solomon, my name will be in this house forever. And my eyes and my ears, they shall be here. God is carefully watching and caring for His people. And when God comes into our hearts and He saves us from our sin and cleanses us, He doesn't stop there. He watches over us. And He cares for us. He cares for what's going on in our lives. And it's because we're His property. And God explains that to Solomon, that I have gone ahead and I have hollowed out this house. And it has been made holy. Not only that, but God goes on to explain this, that He will continue to be with Solomon and with Solomon as long as Solomon remains faithful to the Lord. If Solomon continues to walk in the integrity of heart, if he walks innocently, God would establish His throne forever. If Solomon walks uprightly, God will establish His throne forever. And I thought of it this way, an honest man will always walk upright. But those who are mischievous or have done wrong, they usually kind of tiptoe. Like some of the kids when they run in church, they kind of do one of these. They slip past you. They're not walking uprightly. And when we sin against God, most of the time we're kind of sneaking around here. But God is saying, Solomon, if you are innocent, if you walk uprightly, I will establish your throne forever. And Solomon, if you do all that I've said to do according to my commandments and you keep my statutes and my judgments, Solomon, your kingdom will be established forever. No one will be able to take your throne, Solomon. But then we find in our passage that God switches from talking about those promises to Solomon to a premonition. And like I had mentioned before, a premonition is a warning. It's a notice. For instance, when Jesus Christ told His disciples, there will be suffering, the notice. If you follow me, there will be suffering. And God is telling Solomon, Solomon, here's the premonition, here's the warning, here's the notice. If you are faithful to me, blessings. Now here's the warnings if you don't follow me. And God warned Solomon and his children that if they were not obedient to Him, not only would Solomon and his lineage, but all of Israel would be cut off from the land which God had given them. And not only that, but not only if they turned away from God, but if they worshiped other gods, they would be cut off And disobedience to the Lord could result in Solomon and Israel's banishment from the blessings of God. Everything we have is a blessing from God. It's like the song that Miss Caseland sang a few weeks ago about those blessings. You can't count them. There's too many. And I remember being in high school, and one of the years there, my choir teacher, every time I would go into choir class, my choir teacher had us take out these 3x5 little notebooks. And every day, we had to write 3 things that we were thankful for. Now, I had her class twice because I was in another singing group, so I had to write 6 things every day that I was thankful for. And she did that throughout the year, and she'd make you number it, numbers 1 through, you know, however many in the semester. And you'd just write down 3 things you're thankful for every day. And I remember one of those days, she picked a random number. She said, okay, we're going to pick number, I think it was 72, and you're going to tell me what you're thankful for. Well, my number 72 was Revelations. And she said, why are you thankful for Revelations? And I said, well, because my pastor's been preaching on it, and to hear about what God is going to do when he comes back to this earth, I'm excited. God will come back for his people, and that's good things. My choir teacher thought that was very weird that I was so thankful for that. But I was thankful that I had a pastor who preached God's word clear enough that I could understand what's to come and be thankful for all that God is going to do. And not only that, but now looking throughout my life, the times of discouragement or when I'm just kind of in the dumps, going through the hard times, I sometimes start to count my blessings. Okay, I'm in a difficult situation, but okay, let's think. What has God done for me? Well, he's given me clothes. That's always a good place to start. He's given me shoes. He's given me food to eat, a house, a wife, a church that loves me, a pastor that preaches the word, a pastor that loves me. And I could go on and I could have to use my toes and borrow someone else's fingers and toes. And the blessings would be too many to count. But then when I look back at all the hard times, well, there was this one time I was frustrated. Well, I just overreacted. That wasn't a hard time. When we look back, we don't have as many hard times. But the blessings, they far exceed. And this is what Israel had. They had blessings from God, and Solomon had blessings from God. And right now, things are really going good for them. Israel and Solomon, things are really going good for them. But failure to listen to this premonition from God could result in Israel being removed from that land. Them being removed from the house of God. Israel being cast out of God's sight. And instead of hearing great things about Solomon and Israel, they would become a proverb or a byword among all the people. A story of what could have been, a proverb. They could have become a gibe or a byword, a scornful word. Solomon's house could have been mentioned to be something great. It could be something great if they were faithful to God, if they were obedient to God. The great house of God made by Solomon could be an astonishment to all people, but it could also be this, an astonishment of destruction. Because as the Lord says to Solomon, that people would be astonished at what they'd see, and they would say, what happened? Why hath the Lord done this unto this land, to this house? And those still living around at that time would say, didn't you hear? Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them, therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. You didn't hear about Solomon and Israel? Because if you read ahead to 1 Kings chapter number 10, there's the Queen of Sheba. In chapters number 11, Solomon, he's the wealthiest man in the world. He's got everything he could ever ask for, anything that any man could ever want, Solomon has. And he also has 700 women. So he's got 700 problems. because they cause him to not listen to God's premonition. And instead they say, well, why don't you come worship our God? And Solomon, he goes that way and he worships their false gods. And what could have been is now no more. Just imagine, if you and I tonight were to live back in that day and we were to meet Solomon and say, Solomon, do you mind taking me around the kingdom of Israel? Do you have a moment to do so? And Solomon says, sure, get on board. And so you get in his chariot with him and you start riding around and looking at all the magnificent things he has there, all the beautiful gold, the silver, and you start looking all around and, wow, look at all of this. And as you're riding along, Solomon takes you to these different areas. But then you come to this one magnificent house. It's overlaid with gold. And the throne is made of ivory overlaid, and there's shields, and there's 12 lions of gold, and there's pillars made with algum trees, the most beautiful trees you've ever seen. And we look up and go, wow, this is magnificent. And Solomon says, that gold is from Ophir. It's the rarest gold you can ever find. And those pillars there that are made of algum, they've never been seen again. Those trees, no one's ever seen those trees ever again. And those spices, all that you see throughout there, were given to me by the Queen of Sheba. She gave me all of these spices that I have. And all of this gold that I have, that was brought over from Hiram the king. And everything that I have here was given to me by all these people. And you're astonished. That's what it means to hiss, to whistle. Wow. But I want you to imagine that as you're staring at this magnificent house of God, you look over, and there's Solomon, and his eyes are full of tears. You look at him, and you say, is everything all right? Solomon says, this could have been something great. If only I was faithful to God. Because now I've lost it all. This could have been, but it's nothing anymore. And Solomon goes on to tell you, if only I listened to that premonition from the Lord, I could be in that house right now. I could be praising the Lord with all of Israel. But I can't. I missed it. Solomon could have avoided becoming a proverb by listening to the premonition of the Lord. We can avoid becoming a casualty report by listening to the premonition of the Lord. We all have memory markers in our lives that we drive by and we remember, like me in that plaza. Drive by and I remember. Of course, what's in the past is the past. We can't change it. But we can ask God to forgive us, because there's many more miles ahead that we can go. Amen. And there's many more memories that we can make along the way and come back to and see all those good memories. One of the memory markers that I have been able to make here recently is this church. Now, I have not been here through the transition when you guys moved from Garland to here in the building project, and all that took place. I haven't been there for that, so I can't speak to that. But there was a gentleman who came a few months ago, and he came to deliver a package to this church, and he dropped it off, and he was kind of just off in his, just off looking around. And I thought at first he was just staring off into space. And I thought, well, this is kind of a weird delivery driver. And he was looking around at the church and the steeple. And then he goes, do you work here? Yes, sir. He goes, this is a beautiful facility. And so we started talking about the church. And I said, yes, it used to go out that far out the acreage and that way. And I said, the pastor was able to sell that and to change some things and to, get some money from all of these things that he sold. And I said, but let me tell you about this, though. We had a debt that we owed, and it was millions of dollars. But this past, I believe it was July, the church paid it off. I said, we didn't ask for help. I said, God's people were faithful to God, And God was faithful to this church. And in amazement, they paid all of this off? Yes, sir.
Amen.
A memory marker. That when people drive by, those who have never been to this church before, can hear of the testimony of New Heights Baptist Church and how God preserved and blessed this church. And for those that are witnesses to that, we can say, let me tell you about a memory marker. Just right off of Hooper Road. There's the church down there, and God's people were faithful to God, and God blessed in great ways. We all have a choice, of course. We can listen to the premonitions from God, the warnings from God, and take heed to them, or we can disregard them, as Solomon did, and have to miss out on all the blessings that God could have given us. So years down the road, what will your memory markers look like? Will they be blessing after blessing of what God did here, here, and here? Or will they be, I don't want to remember that mile marker. That was where I was unfaithful to God. That's where I was disobedient to God. What do you want your memory markers to look like? I hope that they're ones of faithfulness and not unfaithfulness. Let's pray.